Well, let's go to Psalm 73, please. Psalm 73. And notice verse 3. Psalm 73, verse 3. Here David, the psalmist writes in Psalm 73, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." When a believer is encountering problems, and we've been talking on Wednesday nights about overcoming life's problems. And whenever a believer, a Christian, is encountering problems, whether it be marital problems, financial problems, work-related problems, health problems, all the different things we go through in life, whenever you're going through problems, the temptation is to look at other people who maybe are not saved, they don't know the Lord, or maybe they're not even serving the Lord. They're a Christian, but they're not serving the Lord. And we see their prosperity, and we see them doing great, and we become envious. And we think, well, why do they have good health? Why do they have a nice house? Why do they have a new car? Why do they have lots of money? Why do they have new clothes? You know, and then we start saying things like, well, why does God permit them to prosper while I go through trials and I go through tribulations and I go through problems? And it's important to remember that whenever you go through problems in life, Satan wants to exploit that. And Satan desires to get you looking horizontally around you at others instead of you looking up vertically at Jesus Christ. When you go through problems, he wants you to look horizontally instead of vertically. And this is what happens here. In verse 3, look at it again. He said, "For I was envious at the foolish," notice, "when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He was looking this way, horizontally, instead of vertically. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, this psalm takes a turn for the good. There's a pity party going on here. Anybody ever have a pity party? Raise your hand. You say, man, I had one today. That's all right. Praise God you're in church tonight. Amen. But, you know, it's easy to have a pity party. And I think we've all been there at some time or another. And, man, there's just an old-fashioned pity party going on here in Psalm 73. And then in verse 17, the psalm turns. And look at verse 17. He says, until, verse 16 says, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." All the stuff he's, you know, moaned about for 15 verses. He says, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." And then verse 17, the psalm takes a turn. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." And so the psalm takes a turn. Now, by the end of the psalm, look at verse 28. He says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works." So, I mean, the psalm starts out way down here. I mean, he's low. And then verse 17, it turns. And then by verse 28, he's talking about drawing near to God and declaring his works and all that. So, you know, you got to understand that as you go through this. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that it's possible that here in 2013, could we become envious of the wicked and their prosperity? Could that happen to us? So, just like it was a problem then, is it still a problem now? And by the way, when you feast yourself on, you know, television talk shows and morning shows, boy, doesn't that can depress you, amen? You know, you look at these people on their morning shows and, oh, they got new stylish clothes and fancy hairdos, and they're talking about the parties they've been to and what countries they've been visiting and the personal jet that flies them around. And, you know, you feed on that and you get discouraged because you're looking at these people on TV thinking, man, they don't know God. They don't love God. They don't serve God. And look at them, you know. I mean, can you imagine if one of those ladies that does those morning shows, you know, can you imagine if she said, yeah, when I get done here, I'm going to go to the grocery store, and then I'm going to go home, and then I'm going to do some laundry, and then I'm going to start supper, and then I'm going to do the dishes, and then I'm going to give the kids a bath, and for our big treat today, we're going to go to Krispy Kreme and get a donut. That wouldn't get too many viewers, would it? You know, and so they talk about their vacations and they talk about the, you know, what they've been doing. And man, sometimes you look at that and it's easy to think, man, and here I am serving God and I don't have any of that. What does it mean to be envious of someone? In your handout, it says, here's what it means. To be envious of someone means to resent what others have and wish you had it. I asked a question in your handout, and I want you to answer it for me. Do y'all think that envy really is a sin against God? Is it really? Is envy a sin? Well, let's do this. Most of the verses I either have here or I have in the handout, but there's a couple passages in the New Testament I want you to turn to, and then we're going to go right back to Psalm 73. So keep something in Psalm 73 and go to Romans 1. All right, let's go to Paul's epistle to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 1. And so he's writing to the church. And notice what he writes in Romans 1, verse 28. Romans 1, 28. Romans 1, verse 28. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Being filled, now he's going to describe those people, those pagan people. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. And then what's the very next thing on the list? Full of what? Envy. Murder is the next one. Debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters. Look at this. Haters of God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. Liars, in other words. Without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful. Now, go over with me to another passage that Paul wrote. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And here we have another one of those kind of lists. He's talking about the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19. He talks about the works of the flesh. And in verse 19, he says, Galatians 5, 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," which are these. Look at the list. "Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." Verse 20, "idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies." What's the next thing on the list that begins verse 21? Envyings. And then what's the next one on the list? Murders, drunkenness, revelings. Now you look at that, church. Envy, resenting what others have, wishing you had it. That is on a list of fleshly sins, such as drunkenness, fornication, murder, haters of God, witchcraft, hatred, and we saw the rest of them. So after reading that, if I were to ask you again, is envy a sin against God? What would you say? It really is, isn't it? Envy really is a serious sin of the heart. Now, envy, is that something typically that other people see? Yes or no? Is envy a sin that other people would see? Not usually. Not usually. Envy is a sin of the what? Heart. But does God see envy in the heart? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And it's a very serious sin, and we're going to see why in this lesson. And we're going to talk about how to overcome it. I want you to go to Psalm 73 now, and we'll be there for the rest of the night. Go to Psalm 73, with one exception, I think we'll be in Psalm 73 pretty much the rest of the night. Look at Psalm 73, and let me give you some principles here, all right? Number one is this. What happens when we become envious of others? Number one, I want you to write this in your handout, we become frustrated. When we become envious of others, the first thing is we become frustrated. Frustrated. Look down at verse 16. All right, after talking about all the envy that he had, verse 16 he says, when I thought to know this, it was too what? Painful for me. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Did y'all hear that? A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Envious people are frustrated people. Because they're constantly thinking about what someone else has and that they don't have. Envious people are constantly thinking about, you know, comparing what they have with what somebody else has. And it kills them inside. It eats at them. It's the rottenness of the bones, the Bible says. Envy, it eats at them continually. David's, you know, he said it's painful. So, number one, when we become envious, we become frustrated. We become frustrated. By the way, that's why there's a lot of problems in churches. Is because people get envious of other people at church, envious of their position, envious of their possessions, you know, envious of whatever it may be. And what happens is you get frustrated. And frustrated people usually are contentious people. And that's why there's a lot of problems in marriages and in homes. Is because one or both of the couples, they become envious of the Joneses across the street. If your name is Jones, don't take offense tonight, all right? That's a generic term. But, you know, they become envious of someone else at church or envious of the neighbors or envious of someone else at work who, you know, makes a dollar more an hour than them. Or they become envious of whatever. And it's frustrating. And envious, frustrated people are not fun people to be around, and there's friction in their life then that follows them because of the envy that's in their heart. So you become frustrated. Number two, the second thing that happens is when we become envious, we become centered on self, it says in your handout. We become centered on self. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, Psalm 73, verse 12. It says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, and do this with me. Every time you see the word I, say it with me, okay? Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus. Behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. And then what's the next verse? When I thought to know. Now, notice how many times he says, I. Would you all agree with me the psalmist was centered on himself? Yeah, he had an I problem, didn't he? He had an I problem. He's having an old-fashioned pity party. By the way, at any pity party, I don't care if it's your pity party, my pity party, Paul's pity party, Steve's pity party, if it's who can I pick on here? If it's Cody's pity party, I don't care whose pity party it is, at any pity party, can anybody tell me who the guest of honor is? Self, right? I, self. Self is the center of attention. And it's so easy to get the martyrdom complex, right? Martyrdom, you know what I mean, right? Elijah, remember? I'm the only one. Life is unfair. I deserve better. And when we become full of envy, we begin to have accusing thoughts about God. We begin to suspect that just maybe God's dealt us a raw deal. And we begin asking ridiculous questions. In your handout, I've got some of those listed there. We begin asking ridiculous questions. Ridiculous questions like, why isn't God just and fair? We begin asking ridiculous questions like, is trying to live for God really worth it? And isn't that what he said? Look at verse 13. That's the idea there, verse 13. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. He says, man, here I am struggling. Here the ungodly are prospering. So you know what? I've served God in vain. Is trying to live for God really worth it? Man, we begin to say silly things like, well, man, I was doing better when I was serving the devil. At least I could pay my bills. And we begin to say things like this. Look at the next one in your handout. Why does God bless others but not me? Look at verse 1 and 2. Isn't that what the psalmist writes here? Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for who? Me. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He says, man, you know what? Why does God bless others, but not me? Now, you look at those three questions. If we stopped, and if we really thought about it and we meditated on His Word, would we not know that, okay, why isn't God just and fair? Well, if I meditated on His Word, would I not know that God is always just and fair? Look at this verse on the screen, Romans 9:14. You may want to jot these down too beside those questions. This is the answer. I'm going to give you a biblical answer to each one of those questions in your handout. So you may just want to jot down the reference. Romans 9:14. Look what the Bible says. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? And what's the answer? God forbid. What? Listen, deep down, don't you know that God always does what's right? Don't you know that He's always fair? Don't you know that He's just? Don't you know that? Come on, do you know that tonight? Do you? Don't you believe that God, our God? Do you believe? Listen, if you don't think God's always just and fair, then basically what we're saying is we think God sins. And you know what? If God isn't always just, and if God isn't always fair, and if God sins, we might as well close that up, leave it in the pew, and go home and never come back. You see, our God is always just, and He's always fair. You look at that second question that I said that sometimes we may ask when we're having a pity party. Is trying to live for God really worth it? Well, the answer for that, I'll bring it up on the screen and you can write it in your handout. The answer to that is Ephesians 1:3. Well, I'm sorry. Nope. Write it down. This is the answer for the third question. Why does God bless others but not me? Write in there Ephesians 1:3. All right? That's the answer to that. What did Paul write to the church, to Christians? He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us. Who hath blessed us. Does that say He's going to, or He's already done it? He's already done it. He blessed us with what? He blessed us with some spiritual blessings. Oh, it didn't say some? What did it say? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Are you blessed tonight? Are you blessed? I'm just asking the question. Are you blessed? You're blessed. You know, and so when we say, why does God bless others and not me? You know what the answer for that is? He's already blessed you. Amen? That's a stupid question because He's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I kind of got them out of order, but look at the second question there. Is trying to live for God really worth it? Now, you and I both know the answer to that, don't we? And the answer to that is right here, Romans 8:18. You can write that in next to the second question, Romans 8:18, where Paul writes, look at it with me up on the screen here, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared," you can't even compare it, "with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So I don't care what you're going through on earth. I don't care if you're like Paul, you're in prison and they put your head in a guillotine. You know, I don't care if your AC quit working. I don't care if you live in a mud hut down by the river. It doesn't matter. Folks, listen. Is serving God worth it? Well, it always is. See? It always is. The answer for that is right there. You know, any suffering we go through can't even be compared with the reward and the blessing that we're going to get in eternity. So, you know, that's what happens when we become envious. We get frustrated. We become centered on self. We begin asking ridiculous questions. That's a mark of someone who's envious. Now, let's go to the next thing in your handout. What causes us to become envious of others? Number one, a lack of spiritual discernment. A lack of spiritual discernment. Go to Psalm 73. And I want you to notice here how that the psalmist is judging everything based on what he saw outwardly. Look at verse number 3. "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw," based on the outward, what he saw, "I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Now look down at verse 5. "They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." You look at verse 7. "Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish." The psalmist he's basing everything on what he saw outwardly. Can somebody be prosperous outwardly and miserable on the inside? Yeah, you know what? I don't know who's living in the most expensive house in the Daytona Beach area tonight, but I can guarantee you this. You can live in the most expensive house in Daytona and you can be as miserable as the day is long. You know? And so, but David's basing everything on what he saw. And that's what happens, is that we become envious when we lack spiritual discernment. We begin to look at everything outwardly. In your handout, it says there, spiritual discernment causes us to look at invisible, eternal things, not outward temporal prosperity. And then I want you to look in your handout there. I think I have it in there, or do I? Maybe I don't. Okay, I thought I put it in there, but I didn't. Let me just read it to you for time's sake. Do I have a reference in there, 2 Corinthians? Okay, good, I got the reference. So you can look that up later, but listen to this. Just listen. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." You see, that's called spiritual discernment. Looking past what you can see this way and having that spiritual vision to see eternity. When you look at a person enviously, if you knew what their life was really like, you might not want to be in their shoes, because they may be miserable on the inside. So, you ever heard the old expression, never judge a book by its cover? You know, you look at somebody in church and, you know, you're sitting there and you think, wow, why couldn't I be married to somebody like him? Well, if you tried it for about a month, you may trade him back in. Why couldn't I be married to somebody like her? Yeah, Oh, yeah. Yeah, you live with her about a month and you'd be like, where's the return department? You know. Never judge a book by its what? Cover. No, just don't do it. So, you know, you look at things outwardly and you know, the old expression, somebody just told me this recently. You know, you look at you look on the other side of the fence and the grass always looks greener, right? But it was you that told me that. You said the grass looks greener, but you still got to mow it, right? You know, grass looks greener, but the water bill's higher, amen? In Florida, we know about that, don't we? But, you know, I heard a story one time about a king, and this powerful king was unhappy. He had power, he had riches, he had everything anybody could want on earth, but he was unhappy on the inside. And so he thought, if I could wear the shoes of the happiest man in my kingdom, then maybe I'll be happy. So he called in some servants and he said, I want you to go out and I want you to go throughout my kingdom. And I want you to find the most joyous, happy person in my kingdom. And I want you to bring me back that person's shoes so that I can wear their shoes and be happy. And you know, that was a good idea, except for one problem. They found the happiest man in the kingdom, but guess what? He didn't own a pair of shoes. He didn't own a pair of shoes. You see, the reason why we get envious is because we lack spiritual discernment. We're just not thinking clearly. We're not thinking biblically. Would you trade your life with the richest man in Daytona? Now, I don't know who that is, but I would not do that. You say, why not? Man, that'd be far too risky, wouldn't it? I mean, that'd be far too risky. No, you wouldn't want to do that. A lack of spirit. Now, number two, the second reason why we become envious is a dissatisfaction with what God has given. A dissatisfaction with what God has given. Look at verse 3. Psalm 73:3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the what? The prosperity of the wicked. Obviously, they had material possessions the psalmist didn't have, and he didn't think it was fair. Why? Why didn't he think it was fair? Because he was not content with what God had given him. Look at your handout, Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak, it's on the other side of the handout. Not that I speak in respect of want, Paul said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? Content. By the way, he said he learned that. By the way, the earlier you learn that, the better off you'll be. You know, and the reason why a lot of people never do learn contentment is because as children, their parents permitted them to be discontent. Always want more, always want what somebody else had at school, always want this or that. And so, you know, discontented children become what? Discontented teenagers. And discontented teenagers become what? Discontented adults. And discontented young marrieds become discontented middle-age. And discontented middle-age people become discontented senior citizens. Never happy. You see, Paul said, I've learned. You know, the quicker you learn that, the better off you'll be. Is don't, you know, quit being envious and wanting what everybody else has and learn to be content. Learn to be content. Look at the next verse. 1 Timothy 6:6 in your handout. It says, but godliness with contentment, say it with me, is great gain. Is great gain. You can't be thankful when you're envious. You know what I mean? How can you be thankful to the Lord? That's why it's so serious, and that's why it's on that list. in Romans 1, and that's why it's on the list in Galatians 5. It's because envy at its root is an unthankful, ungrateful spirit towards God. At its root, that's what it is. We're unthankful and we don't have gratitude to the Lord. And that's why it's so serious. You see, if a person's content, why does it say godliness with contentment is great gain? Because the content person has something that money cannot buy. Peace. Peace. They don't have to worry about who has what. They don't have to worry about if it's bigger and if it's better than mine. It doesn't matter because they're not even looking. They're not even comparing. They're just thankful for what God has provided for them. They're thankful for the food they have, the roof over their head, the bed to sleep in, the car to drive. I mean, they're just thankful. They're just thankful people. And the reason why we get envious is it's a dissatisfaction with what God's given. We're dissatisfied. Number three, the third reason why we become envious is a comparison of ourselves with others. A comparison of ourselves with others. Notice how the psalmist compares. We already read verses 1 and 2. God's good to them, but not to me. Verse 2, verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. But verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. All the day long, I've been plagued and chastened every morning. What's he doing? He's comparing himself. And we become envious when we begin comparing ourselves with other people. We become envious. That's why the psalmist was full of envy. And by the way, that's why he was miserable. He was miserable. I got all these problems, but look at them. Look at them. I want to show you a couple verses here. Look in your handout, 2 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. It's in your handout. Paul said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or, what's that next word? Compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and what? Comparing themselves among themselves are, say it with me, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us. A measure to reach even unto you. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, we're not going to compare ourselves with each other. That's not wise. He says, we're going to measure ourselves with God's ruler. With God's ruler. Not with comparing someone else. Now, how do we overcome the sin of envy? Number one, how do you overcome it? How do you overcome that temptation to be envious? Number one, focus on the intangible blessings of God. When this psalm turns, notice what happens in verse 25. Verse 25. He says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Focus on the intangible blessings of God. You say, what do you mean? God's strength. Aren't you thankful as a Christian, God's strength is always available to you? That's an intangible blessing, God's strength. How about God's counsel? He talks about verse 24. Look at verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me for glory, to glory. His counsel. How about his sustaining grace? Look at verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Whew, wow. God, he said, God took me by the hand. How about our eternal inheritance? Look in your handout, 2 Corinthians 6:10. Look in your handout. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. Now look at this. Paul writes, as having nothing and yet possessing what? What's he talking about there? He's got nothing materially. Hey, he's got nothing materially to speak of. But he said, I possess all things. What does that mean? Let me ask you a question. Who is the rightful heir of everything in heaven and earth? What person? Jesus Christ is the rightful heir. Let me ask you a question. If you're saved, what is your position? You are in Christ. The Bible says that we will join Christ in His inheritance. That means if He's an heir of all things, Hebrews says, that means if we're in Christ, we're an heir of all things. How you like that? So that's what he means when he says, we got nothing, but yet we possess all things. That's what he means. We do. Let me give you the second thing. I got to hurry. How do we overcome the sin of envy? Focus on the intangible blessings of God. Number two, look past the present to the end. Look past the present to the end. What did Paul Harvey always say? Does anybody remember what did Paul Harvey say? And now you've heard the young people are like, what? Now you've heard the rest of the story. Question, while we're here on earth, have we seen the rest of the story? We have not. As believers, we have to look at the full picture. Look with me at Psalm 73, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I there the ungodly's what? End. Then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. You see, evildoers' prosperity will be gone in a heartbeat. And then they'll have nothing. You see, you got to look past the present to the end. He said, I went into the sanctuary of God. I got before God. And when I meditated on God and I thought upon the Lord, I thought upon His Word, then understood I their end. He said, now I see the big picture. Look at the last thing there. How do we overcome the sin of envy? Draw near to God. Draw near to God. Look at verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Look at verse 28. Look at the last verse. But it is good for me to draw near to God. Say that with me. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in who? The Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Hey, look up here, church. David went into the sanctuary. He spent some time with God. He focused on the Lord, and he got everything back in perspective. You see, envy comes when we get our eyes off of God. Envy is a sign of a backslidden heart. It's this, and envy is the sign of a person who's taken their eyes off of God. When we're focused on Christ and we spend time with the Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, and I said this a couple of weeks ago. Kathy, I don't know if you caught it. Kathy is our counselor on staff here. But I said this a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, most of the problems that we have, and it goes back to an inadequate relationship with God, you know? And there's a lot of truth in that. You see, the psalmist here had a real problem in his heart with envy because he wasn't focused on God. And I got news for you. When you are focused on Christ and you are spending time with the Lord, And when you are focused on His Word and you are meditating on the Word and your heart is full of the Lord, I want you to know something, man. You go spend some time with the Lord, and you cannot help but come away saying, man, the Lord's been good to me. Man, God's been good to me. You can't not, you know, when you go and you spend time with the Lord, you're like this guy right here in Psalms. You come away and you say, wow, God's been so good to me. Man, He's treated me far better than I deserve. That's how you come out thinking. But when we're not spending time with the Lord, it's easy to get plagued with envy. And we become frustrated. As I said earlier, it causes pain. If we're going to overcome life's problems, we cannot allow ourselves to become focused on others, focused on what they have, become envious of what they have. You know, we cannot possess an envious spirit as we look at other people as if their lives are trouble-free. We cannot do that because, like I said earlier, it causes pain in our life. You know, I'll end with this, and then I'll give you the last blank here in a minute. Because I've learned, if I give you the last blank, it's pack-up time. Well, so don't dare bring it up, Amanda. But a fable, a story, it's a make-believe story, but a lot of truth in this. A parable or a fable was told about a duck who was very envious of another duck that could fly better than he could. And one day, that envious bird saw a duck hunter with a bow and an arrow and said to the duck hunter, I wish you'd bring down that duck up there, the one he was envious of that could fly higher than him. The hunter said, well, I would if I had some feathers for my arrow here. So the jealous, envious duck pulled one out of his wing and gave it to the hunter. And the arrow was shot, but it didn't quite hit the other bird because, you know, he was flying a little too high, couldn't reach him. And so that first envious duck pulled out another feather. Another time, missed. And man, he kept doing that and kept doing that till finally he lost so many he couldn't fly at all. And y'all know how the story ends? The hunter took advantage of the situation, turned around and killed the helpless bird. And the application is this. If you're envious of others, the one you hurt the most is yourself. And in your handout it says, all it ultimately does, an envious spirit ends up destroying who? Us. Amen, church.